Unit 8. Gateway to Life Skills. Exercises 5 and 6.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. There are some really cool people here.
Yes, there are. Marie always throws a great party. How do you know her?
Marie? We used to go to high school together before we went on to university.
Oh, so I know that she's really into her football. Were you in a team together?
Me? No. Sport was Marie's thing, not mine. But we were both really into computers, I guess. We did a lot of coding, working on programs, that kind of thing.
Really? So what field are you in now?
Well, my company is involved in robotic engineering. We're looking at robots that can be used in search and rescue operations.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I've been involved in robot design myself. It was one of the engineering projects we had to do at university last year. Did you see that viral video about the robot running?
Hey, yeah, I know the one you mean. I was actually at a conference with the research team a couple of years ago. They made a lot of progress since then.
It was incredible. So, are you still involved in programming, or do you have a different role at the company?
Still programming. Our challenge at the moment is to get our robots moving more efficiently. You know, they have to deal with all kinds of uneven surfaces in rescue operations.
Yes, and I suppose you have to protect them from damage too. My name's Ellie Robson, by the way.
Oh, Octavia Stern. Nice to meet you.
You too. Look, I hope it's all right for me to ask, but would it be okay for me to have your phone number? Perhaps you could give me some advice about the industry.
Sure, that'd be fine. Actually, if you give me your email address, I can send you a link to my online profile and website. There might be some useful information on there, and it's the best way to get in touch with me.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Unit 8. Listening. Exercises 3A and 3B.
Hello. You're listening to our weekly podcast of The World Out There, in which we ask students to share their experiences of the world beyond the lecture hall. This week, we're hearing from Sylvia about her experience as a volunteer on a marine conservation project.
My name's Sylvia, and during the summer, for 1 week, I took part in a conservation program as a volunteer. As most people listening will know, our ocean is facing many environmental problems, and I really wanted to do something to help. I would like to start by saying something about the facilities at the conservation centre where I was staying. I was allowed to visit the laboratories. They're really good, very state-of-the-art, and plenty of room for the researchers to work in. I kind of expected that, but the rooms we volunteers were sleeping in, I couldn't believe how comfortable they were. I'd assumed they'd be a lot more basic. It was good to be able to relax once my busy day was over. And it is a busy day. I mean, each day you're there, there's a full schedule. One of the first things we did was to clean up the beach. I was horrified by the amount of plastic we picked up. There was heaps of it, way more than I'd imagined. I thought it'd mainly be bottles and cans, but actually there was less of that around. Maybe it just gets buried in the sand. On the second day, we were shown how to construct fences and how to make sure they don't just fall over in the sand. The fences are important because they stop, well, hopefully they discourage people from walking into areas that are set aside for conservation. Making the fences and digging the holes wasn't technically challenging, but I think I ran out of patience at times. It's not a job you can rush. It's a step-by-step process, and you don't want to be making any mistakes by losing concentration. One of the highlights of the week for me was going out on a boat with the researchers to look at the monk seals. We had to use binoculars, of course, because, as the researchers told us, on no account should you get too close to them. As you know, the seals are endangered, but the researchers are doing everything they can to save them. It's sort of heroic, in a way, this attempt to prevent their extinction, and I wish it got more attention from the media. I spent a lot of time with other volunteers, and quite a few of them were from other countries. They were really enthusiastic and wanted to help. But sometimes there were communication problems and my team leader would ask me to translate, to act as an interpreter, I guess. Like one time, when a guy called Tom had an allergic reaction to a jellyfish sting and we had to get medical help from a local doctor. Not a good experience for Tom, but it was quite interesting for me. When you take part in the conservation programme, as you're only there for a week, you haven't really got time to settle in and you just have to get on with it. It's very much about teamwork and you're going to have to leave your ego behind. So what happens is that all these new friendships form very quickly, and that was brilliant. An unexpected bonus, actually. And now I feel like I'm connected to a whole lot of new people. The time seemed to fly by, and the end of the week came sooner than I'd expected. I wasn't looking forward to saying goodbye. But the thing I was dreading most was having to perform a song on the final evening. Not only do you have to perform in front of all the other volunteers, but you have to do it without music. We were given the option of doing something traditional or something modern, but it's not really something that I'm good at. I'm terrible, actually. But I said I'd go first to get it over and done with, and then I was able to relax for the rest of the evening and just listen to everyone else and enjoy the barbecue. Before I joined the conservation programme, I'd never spent much time away from home, and I was wondering whether I'd get homesick. I was also worried about whether I'd like the other people, and whether what we'd be doing would really be useful. As it turned out, I needn't have worried at all. I learnt a lot, not just about the environment, but about myself too. So I guess I could regard my time on the programme as a useful kind of experiment. That would certainly be one way to describe it. Anyway, I would really recommend.
Unit 8. Developing Speaking. Exercises 3, 4 and 5.
Okay, so I'm going to compare this picture here and this one here. I'm guessing that in this picture, a tutor has told them that they have to work together. They didn't have a choice, whereas in this one, it could either be the dad that got everyone together or maybe it was the kid's idea. Anyway, I suppose that in both pictures you can see a kind of collaborative project. Perhaps these people are trying to carry out some kind of experiment, and if they pool their knowledge, things might turn out more successful. In this picture, however, one person probably has far more control. He's in charge, I expect. But they can all come up with some different ideas, maybe inspire each other. It looks like they're cooking something. It could be birthday cupcakes for the mother. Maybe the dad has just warned the little boy, don't press down too hard. Or perhaps the girl has just suggested that they could add some decoration. And here, perhaps the man on the left has just asked if they need any assistance, and the girl has insisted that everything is going fine with the experiment. I think the most significant difference between these two photos is the motive. The students are trying to achieve something for themselves, while for this family, the aim is to produce something which will make the mother happy.